Oh, hello, good morning. My name is Asi, gratefully living in recovery. I'm very honoured to be among you today, actually, and to be speaking and sharing my experience, strength and hope around relying on your higher power for your business. So as I was preparing the talk today, I thought to myself, all through this last week, I've been reminded that faith without works is dead, but works without faith, I hear my father's voice, is of no consequence. So I found myself sitting on a PRG the other day and asking the person, the question that was asked to me is, what do you believe about money? And what is getting in your way of you having more of it? So pre-DA and BDA, I was nominated for a Wise Woman Award. Don't know why. I found it really, really bizarre because I had these papers contacting me and asking me about why I do what I do. And I was like, I've never really actually thought about that. So I felt that perhaps I'm exactly where I am because I choose to be here. I remember some years ago, I found on my dresser, it just appeared, literally just appeared on my dresser, was a Holy Boy, which is an oratorio that I'd sang in secondary school or high school. And I felt that God was telling me, go and do this, put this on, go to the church and tell the priest that you're going to put this on. And so I went to the priest and I said, I really want to do this play because I had not long graduated and I wanted to do something that was in relation to my degree, which I wasn't really. And he was like, yeah, and he was really, really supportive. Then I reached out to the community and they all came on board and we all put on this play at Christmas because it was an oratorio, but we dramatized it, or I dramatized it. And then it was just so wonderful. And then I found myself sitting in the convent and I said to the sisters, I want to do this all the time. This is all I want to do. And then they was like, well, you won't get much money in the Catholic Church, but try the Anglicans. And it's like, okay. I prayed on it and I prayed on it and I prayed on it. And I says, Lord, you know, if there is a way that I could just do this all the time, it'd just be wonderful. And for months, nothing actually happened. And it was interesting because then last night I just heard somebody preaching about go again. You know, when it doesn't happen to me, you go again. You just keep on. You just have to sometimes just keep believing. And then one of my colleagues said, oh, look, Asi, I found the perfect job for you. It was another church looking for a children's worker who was a specialist in drama. I was like, oh my goodness, that's amazing. Yes, that's me. And so I claimed it and I got it, even though they were looking for a qualified teacher, which I was not. And so then, I don't know, my life took a completely different kind of turn because I had always believed that I was going to be a famous pop singer, then I was going to make loads and loads of money, and then on my 30th birthday I'd give it all away and join a convent. That's not quite how my life turned out. After 3 years of working in the church and doing productions every year, I became redundant. I was made redundant because the funding wasn't continuing. And so it was like, oh, okay. And then I continued like in church work, but working in chaplaincy. And then there was another opportunity that came up in another church and they were looking for a music and drama specialist. I thought, wow, I get to use both of my much loved, passionate talents, yes. And so then I went and I worked at that church for another 3 years, putting on productions and doing other stuff. And then after the 3 years, I was made redundant again. And I was like, Lord, we can't keep going through this. You know, with all church drama life and everything else, it seems that sometimes continuous funding was being forgotten. And so that's when one of the priests who was supervising me at the time said, well, why don't you set up a charity of your own? And so I was like, oh, okay. But I'm not sure that would work because, you know, I I wouldn't be able to take a salary. But then at the time, social enterprises and CICs were trending. And then luckily, one of the other another organisation that I worked with had recently birthed a CIC and had been able to pay themselves a salary through the work that they do. So I was very, very, very blessed to have that guidance. I'm going to go back to my notes. And so I was very blessed to have that guidance. And we 5 minutes. Thank you so much. Okay, so I've got 5 minutes left. So, you know, the work that we do is very, you know, God-centered, and we were able to set up as a CIC. However, I had a pauper mentality towards my business, and I didn't even know I had a pauper mentality until I joined the program in BDA. I was so afraid of generating income to pay myself. And it was just like, you know, I was fine getting the money to pay people to come in and do workshops and things like that. But I didn't even think about, you know, well, why can't I pay myself? Instead, I would work for other people to pay my bills, but raise money to pay other people to come in. And so, it was insane. You know, I basically was working as a volunteer for my company. And this went on for like 2 years. And I expected others to do the same. I was very reliant on getting other people in, as many people as I can, to work on a voluntary basis. But there were professionals that we would pay to come in and do workshops. And what was interesting enough is that when we got very blessed to be supported, and God has been so great in opening our eyes to all of the funding that is available for the work that we do to support the arts. And then I found myself, even with money actually coming in, that I accidentally paid the musical director my rate and paid myself the lower rate. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is insane. I'm really not well. So you know, coming into BDA has just kind of helped me hone in on actually really kind of listening for God, and even planning, you know, for this talk today, and, you know, thinking and reflecting on how God has been in it from the beginning, where he's been guiding me step by step. Nothing I've done has been wasted. All of the times that I was made redundant, the amount of knowledge and experience I got from working in those churches, and the amount of contacts and relationships that have been built through former employment, which now supports our business today. You know, that's God. that is God. And I just thank God, because he took me in steps, like this program does. We work in steps, and God works with us in steps. God works with me in steps. And it doesn't happen all at once. It doesn't happen all at once. And so how much time have I got left? Is it? Oh, yeah, okay, I've got just under 2 minutes. Okay, so now I very much am more focused on being God spirit led. That is just so important, because if God's not in it, then I get stressed, I get anxious, I get worried, and I start thinking, oh my gosh, how am I going to do this? So that's when I know I've lost sight of God, and I need to go back to the source and understand that's where everything comes from, and he will guide us through. If he put the vision in my heart, then he will provide the resources to make it happen. And when we do that, we can be sure, thank you so much, we can be sure that success is on the way. And so in our company, we do have God spirit led as our number one top value. And we value every person, and we share in God's love by practicing the steps, especially the BDA tools, which are so helpful in managing the business and reminding me to pay myself and to give myself holiday and to give all of the benefits that I would for any person that we employ. There is more than enough. There is more than enough for everyone to go around, and we all have a specific purpose that we are to fulfill. And once we're walking in God's will, all is always well. And I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, here's our next speaker, please. Megan.
Hello everyone, my name is Megan and I am a compulsive debtor and business owner. I have not incurred any unsecured debt since the 15th of April 2015. My home meeting is Dublin in Ireland, so I'm super proud and happy to be here and excited. So I love the topic, relying on higher power in business. Before I came into DA and BDA, I was very spiritual, I felt. I felt I had a true connection, and I did, actually. And I started a business, and it was God-led. However, money and God, for me, had nothing to do with one another. So what did I do? I didn't charge very much. The volunteers ringing lots of bells there. You know, I did an awful lot of work that I didn't pay myself for. I gave a great service. I was exhausted. Let me think. Okay, so I'd be hiring venues. I wouldn't pay my rent to the venues. My fees I would get from clients, maybe they'd pay me ahead. I would spend the money before I did the work. That still makes me shudder, the memory of that. What else did I do? Oh yeah, tax. Yeah, I thought I was. I thought I was completely honest. I really, really did. I'm as pure as an angel. I was either pure as an angel or a piece of, you know, turd on the ground. There was no in between for me. So I thought I was paying my tax perfectly. You know, everything was fine, and I was just keeping myself terribly, terribly small. So that's how I was. But at the same time, I had started a business which I knew my higher power wanted me to start. So I started the business. I was in utter misery. What cracked me in the end was tax, revenue, and them sending me a letter saying, you owe us all this. And I just went, okay, I cannot take this anymore. What's wrong with me? And thankfully, I found DA on the internet. I did the questionnaire. It was like, yes, 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 yes. Okay, now I know. Full of shame, but I turned up. I worked the steps. And then I came to this whole new relationship with the higher power, where higher power lives everywhere, like right in the carpet, you know, under our feet, and in the money, which I found extraordinary. So this is then what I thought is, what does relying on God in my business actually mean? On higher power God, I know we all have a different word. So for me, it means not overworking. I used to overwork, be exhausted. So I didn't just debt with money, I debted with my energy. And one of the first things that happened to me when I began to recover was I became physically better. I used to be sick all the time. And because the big thing was actually the meditation, because meditation makes me stop, it makes me rest. And my body was delighted with this. She's actually stopping, for 20 minutes a day. That's such a friendly, kind thing to do for ourselves. Whether or not we're connecting with higher power, just stopping, and actually I would often fall asleep afterwards. And I noticed, wow, I haven't been sick this year. That's a big change. What else does it mean? Not spending clients' money before I have done the work. Huge. Oh my God. You know, something goes wrong, I have to give a refund. No money to give the refund. The stress, that's no longer there in my life because I'm relying on God in my business and the BDA tools. It means working along spiritual lines and honesty. I do extraordinary things now in my business which go totally against my grasping nature of I want everything, I want all the money. But my higher power will have me do things that are generous to other people. And it's not in the same way where I debt with energy. This is generosity that I can afford to give. And I only could learn that through working the steps, because a lot of those character defects were removed. Not entirely. They're not in outer space. They're sometimes just there. But at least they're meaning 2 inches, you know. They're just beside me, but there's that little space between them where I can see. Okay, Megan, there's your old grasping attitude. Here's your more higher power-led one. You can afford to actually give this person a refund in this situation, you know, or whatever. 5 minutes, great, thank you. What else it means is putting my prices up. There's a big one. And there is a big leap of faith. And I did a really big leap of faith last September. My business had gone through hell in COVID. I had to shut for 6 months. I had to let my staff go last August. And then it was right. I said to my higher power, I will continue if it's your will, but I need obviously to earn enough money to live abundantly. So this meant putting my prices up 40%. Now, I did get a PRG team. They said 100%. I couldn't take it. Put it up on, I literally wouldn't have slept. As it was on 40%, I was under the duvet, shaking, pains in my body for weeks. I put the prices up, booked out, everything went well. I went, okay, higher power, you obviously want me to carry on. So I carried on. Come Christmas, I wanted to reduce the prices. I couldn't bear it. I got to pull them down. I'm always wanting to cut my prices. I always have to reach out and somebody else will say, hopefully, you know, no, Megan, you know, you've got to keep the prices up. And what really helped me was believing in my business. Like, if I don't charge enough to pay my rent, to pay my food, to cover my needs, which I now know what they are because of DA. Before DA, I thought I had no needs. And if I had a need, what a selfish cow am I, you know? But actually, I do have needs. Like, all of us have needs. I didn't know that. I thought it was perfectly spiritually wonderful to have no needs. But to cover my needs, I have to charge a certain amount, and that keeps the business going. I'm actually doing people a favor. And I've had people, I am a nice person, and some people can see that, and they'll go, ah, you want to give me this for free? You want to reduce your prices? And I now say, yeah, I do kind of, but I also want to stay in business. So I'm not going to. So that's great. Okay, another thing, now this is interesting for me. I feel like my recovery's gone in 3 stages. I've been like totally ashamed and useless with money. Then I did the tools in both DA, BDA. I got solvent. Then I was like, yay, I want loads of money. I want a house. This is my thing. I want a house. I don't own a house. And in Ireland, I'm sure it's the same here. Cost a fortune. And I got really driven with the numbers, with the cash flow projections, the financial project, you know, forecasts. Pre-COVID, I was expanding the business, you know, doing interviews. I was like all about the money. COVID came, everything was just like gone. And it was really good for me. And I've come out the other end and I feel like I'm in the third stage, which is, it's about my higher power. It's like, I wasn't born and brought to earth to buy a house. It is not my life purpose. My life purpose is to do my higher power's will in all areas of my life, and that includes my business. So now, when I'm doing my cash flow projections, I don't nail every penny I have to make by the end of the year. I don't create every piece of work I have to do. I leave space for my higher power to come in. And that's beautiful. And I am so grateful I've got to this stage of my recovery. It's a really lovely stage. And along the way, my vision has come true. I'm a writer. I wanted to get published. I've had a novel published. I'm now working on another. In fact, I'm funded at the moment to write. So it's just totally wonderful. Just something came to me that I wanted to say today. The step work brings a lot of pain and a lot of growth, but a lot of pain. And the image came to me last night. It's like the blacksmith who gets a piece of metal and puts it into a fire. And the metal becomes bright white, glowing white. And then the blacksmith can bend it and shape it to how he or she wants to make it. That's what's happened and is happening to me. I've done the step work. I've done the 12 steps, but I'm always working the steps, you know, every day because I need to. Relationships, you know. And I'm now that piece of white metal. And I feel it's very painful being a bright white piece of white metal. That's not a comfortable place to be. However, it's a place where I'm open enough to be shaped, you know, and I really want that to be shaped. So it's not my will. And just one lovely last thing. My father's very ill at the moment. I adore my father. He used to bail me out all the time. And a few years ago, he said to me, "Megan, I don't worry about you anymore." And for my father not to worry about me now, and he's, you know, near the end, and I can go and I can be with him and I can look after him, that's just, I think that's, you know, the greatest gift. So thank you.
But we have our final speaker, and our speaker today is Rona.
Hi. Hi, everyone. Hi, sorry I was late. Lovely to hear some of your sharing. Yeah, sure, sure. Thanks. So relying on your higher power for your business. So I'm going to stop with this, aren't I? So my name is Rona, and I'm a recovering compulsive debtor. I've not incurred any new unsecured debt since May 2009. My home meeting is the women's BDA meeting on a Tuesday. Just now I had an adventure with higher power in itself, actually, because I planned on being here on time. I got really early, and I was really resentful about the meeting being in Heathrow. I didn't realise. I thought it was in Canary Wharf. I only found out a couple of days ago. Thankfully, I bumped into some other fellows and we ended up having a real adventure getting here because I'm dyspraxic and I get completely confused by maps, and we ended up walking along the bloody motorway along some... And I was reminded of all the shit jobs I used to do before I came into DA. I'd be in some weird place that I didn't want to be. And yeah, anyway, so surrender, the journey in itself. I'm going to share a bit about my background, kind of where I came from and... the actions that led me to where I am now, and what became possible actually through DA and BDA, and what continued to become possible. So I'm the daughter of an armed robber and a family of criminals. My mum and dad were always arguing about money. My mum was a compulsive saver, my dad a compulsive spender. So there's a lot of resentment, dishonesty, trauma, anger around money. My dad was in prison a lot. For robberies, beating people up, drugs. So there was always loads of chaos, police at our door, etc. And obviously what came with that was a lot of shame. So I never felt enough, and as a child I'd try and compulsively save to sort of control things, and then my sister would steal all my money. That set up a like really early cycle of dysfunction, to be honest, around money. And I always believed in God. I didn't grow up in a religious home or anything, but I always had a sense, I always just had a sense of God, actually. But because of all the chaos in the home and the struggleaholism, really, I learned around work and money, I had a very contradictory higher power. I realised when I did the DA steps that I believed that higher power was there in sort of bliss and happiness, and especially in nature. But when it came to sort of the gas bill needing to be paid, kind of God was nowhere to be seen. So I really loved God, but I also really hated God, actually. And then that really informed, all those kind of early experiences really informed my early work history of doing a lot of jobs, which I hated, you know, sort of catering and just jobs that were completely not at all suited to the gifts that I have, the gifts that God has given me. I'm incredibly intolerant with the general public, and all of my jobs with the general public. And I acted out a lot, you know, stole from the stationery cupboard, you know, all that sort of thing, had affairs on company time, all that kind of thing. Very resentful. I'd organise my friends to come into bookshops I worked in and have strategies for stealing all the books and lots of things. I was brought to my knees in 2009, actually. I'd been in I got into recovery overall in the January 2009, and then I recognised that I had a feast and famine around money, but I didn't know why, really. I was still in complete denial about my past, really. And I assumed that being in other programmes would address my money, which it didn't. I was brought to my knees. I was working I couldn't pay my rent. And I became completely... insomniac about that. So I went to DA and I did DA How, actually. And my income tripled within 30 days of doing the first three steps. And I think I've always been very spiritually open-minded, and I was very, I knew I had a problem, and I was very, before coming into DA, I was very compulsive about healing that problem, really. You know, I tried all different things, and I won't mention outside things, but I was very, very open-minded, 40-day meditations, you know, whatever was needed. But actually, it was the steps that shifted my relationship with money. And I think, for me, I always attribute that to, it was the healing of shame. I think that even though I was praying a lot and taking a lot of action, God couldn't really come in because there was this big ball of shame in the center of me. And thanks. Yeah, so the steps really, really transformed that. And suddenly I felt like, yeah, like it also, almost the shame was operating like an invisible force field, keeping God out. And so prosperity couldn't come in. And then because of my childhood, I was still in this permanent default state of contraction. And of course, abundance operates on expansion, not contraction. So yes, my income tripled in 30 days. I started bookending. I'll share some of the tools that helped me. Started bookending, even just really simple things like I'm going to go and look at some shoes before going and buying some shoes. And that accountability and that intimacy that started to occur around the bookending of people being able to see me and witness me and encourage me was life-changing. The meeting that I was a part of regularly, it was actually in debt. And I couldn't bear the irony of a DA meeting in debt. So I became the treasurer, even though I was totally chaotic about money. And just, you know, having to count up all those twos and one P's every week and go to HSBC, you know, changed me. And the accountability meant it gave me a level of honesty that I think I hadn't ever had. And I now operate a life, you know, based on 100% honesty, which I'm so pleased to say. Getting a meditation practice, you know, that really allowed higher power to come in and communicate the work that I was actually meant to be doing. And also getting, you know, being enrolling PRGs rather than just random PRGs that allowed a community to develop. And of course, doing the steps, I did an enormous step four and healed a lot of the resentment I was carrying. And as a result, you know, I've been doing work I love since 2009, really. I work as an artist and a healer and put my work online in 2014 after God's guidance, and then went traveling around the world, lived in six different countries, and just had like a total blast, to be honest. Just met amazing people. And then when I was 40, I just got really strong guidance from God to go back and study art, and so I got my master's in fine art. And I didn't debt, the fees were 20 grand, you know, and that God enabled that. So I now have an excellent support team. I really, related to what's been shared around, you know, feeling like, you know, of course, as an addict, feeling like I had to be self-reliant, had to cut my own hair, you know, didn't go to the dentist or any of those sorts of things, or just contract and hide from life. And whereas now I have an amazing support team and, whether it's body care or an art mentor, or, you know, dyspraxia support or whatever it is. More than anything, it's given me a life based on spiritual principles. I can look at myself in the mirror and know, and you know, and accept and love who I am, and a sense of relationship. More than anything, I think that one of the ways that my addictions across all my addictions, but especially around money, really operated was that it made me very transactional rather than relational. You know, I was objectifying my job, or you know, seeing what I could get. You know, I relate to that sense of. Debting is a hostile act to the community, and I remember hearing that in the beginning in DA, and I didn't really understand what it meant, and now I really do, because now, yeah, I do feel like I'm able to be in relationship with life and therefore live life on God's terms rather than on my terms. I think also, you know, growing up in the with a huge sort of lack of safety that I do, and now I live in a really safe, beautiful neighbourhood where I feel, you know, really connected to nature and got guided every day, really. And, you know, when I went travelling, I just bought a one-way ticket and I just listened to God every day on where I was meant to go next and how long I was meant to spend in each country. And so I think ultimately, kind of like the adventure that we had here on the way here, you know, walking up the motorway or whatever, like it's, and being able to laugh at that. You know, if I'd been on my own on that journey, you know, I was saying to my fellows, like, I would have been crying, I would have been in a state of despair, I would have been angry. You know, I was already resenting the committee for deciding to have the conference in Heathrow, which I do think is a terrible idea. Instead, I was able to have a laugh, you know, and we were able to share and play and, you know, and connect and embrace the adventure of life, you know. I do really believe that life is an adventure, and you know that higher powers always, you know, opening its hand to me and saying, you know, come on, you know, let's go for a ride, you know, whereas when I'm in my addiction, you know, I'm trying to control everything, and then ultimately it's boring because I know what's going to happen. I'll stop there. Thanks.
That's great. Thank you. Thank you so much for our three speakers today, for your experience, strength and hope. Assi, Megan and Rona, that was great. Please, just one round of applause. And we're now going to turn 30 minutes.